This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. A tax extenders package passed the U.S. House on Wednesday night and now heads for the Senate. Time to finish the bill is short, as the House and Senate are expected to adjourn for the year next week. The bill is a one-year retroactive extension that only lasts until the end of this month. The bill includes many provisions helpful to farms and other businesses, including Section 179, which, as it is in the current proposal, would raise tax deduction from $25,000 to $500,000. A common practice on farms nowadays is seed treatments. These can be applied in a variety of ways, according to Andy Levine, CEO of the American Seed Trade Association, or ASTA.
Seed treatments have been one of those technologies that the farmers have begun to adopt and that companies are really adapting to, because it's a very targeted, exact means to protect that seed. We all know that in the past we've done broadcast application or in-furrow application pre-plant. With the seed treatment, you've got it on the seed, it's put in the ground, less handling, less environmental impact, and it really does ensure that we maximize the potential of that seed early on, get good root growth and plant growth.
Some critics say seed treatments are unneeded and unsafe, but Levine says, in fact, it is a way to protect the potential of the seed and places active ingredients right on the seed rather than spreading it out.
The problem with saying you don't need it is once you realize that you did need it, it's too late. You can't replant. The seed's already been damaged, and you don't get a growth out of that. So we've got to continue to remind people that what this is insurance that you're protecting that potential in the seed. And so that's something that we've got to continue to get the message out. And it's a lot less active ingredient or chemical per acre, because you've got it right on that seed, and it's a very small amount.
Levine also says ASTA members are doing what they can to help those important pollinators.
So many of our members from across the board rely on bees to pollinate the crops so that we can get seed to begin with. And so there is that right realization that we need them for agriculture, we need them for seed production. So we've got to continue to ensure that the farmers are being aware of what's around them when they are planting, and also work very closely with the farmers, beekeepers, seed producers to ensure that awareness is high. But also, what are farmers doing in that conservation land to plant bee forage or other things that help enhance the bee population and the health?
The American Seed Trade Association CSS 2014 and Seed Expo, the largest seed industry conference in the country, is going to take place December 8th through the 12th in Chicago. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Much of the focus of the EPA's proposed Waters of the U.S. rule has been on how it will affect row crop farmers. But Illinois livestock farmers are at risk for falling under the watch of EPA's suggested rule in ways not previously thought of due to some changes in the state-level pollution rules. Agriculture engineer working as consultant to the Illinois Pork Producers Association, Ted Funk, went over how all these new rules could come together.
Well, you need to understand a couple of things. One, the Waters of the U.S. rule may very well affect some livestock operations. And at the same time, in Illinois, we've just completed a rulemaking by the Illinois Pollution Control Board on the 501 and 502 regulations, which affect all livestock operations in the Part 501. And Part 502 is the permit rules. So the Illinois Pollution Control Board, in its rulemaking, has put in some little changes on definitions and things, which, along with the Waters of the U.S. rule, may affect what constitutes a discharge from a facility. And those discharges, in general, are not permitted, not allowed, from livestock facilities. So producers have to know what's going to be a discharge and what isn't.
Funk provided an example of how exactly interaction between the Waters of the U.S. rule and Illinois EPA pollution rules could play out with vegetative filters.
One of the ones that's very interesting is the conclusion by Illinois EPA that the medium-sized operations are no longer allowed to have part of their operation. Let's say it's a small outside feedlot serving a small portion of the facility, to have what we call a vegetative filter to treat feedlot runoff. If it was only a small facility, that is under 300 animal units, then they're allowed and even encouraged by Illinois EPA to use a vegetative filter treatment system to take the feedlot runoff after a storm, and that vegetative filter, which is essentially a flat bottom waterway, will allow that stormwater to infiltrate and be treated and so on. But if you have a very large storm above the design value, then you'll have some polluted water runoff the far end of it. And if that can go to a receiving stream, in this case we would call it, you know, waters of the U.S., then that would constitute a discharge. If it's a medium-sized facility or larger, they're not allowed to do that. Even if that vegetative filter is only treating, let's say, you know, a feedlot that's got 100 cows on it, if the combined facility size is more than a 300 animal units, then they're not allowed to do that. So they're going to have to really look at these vegetative filter systems that we thought were okay before, and now we may have to make some serious changes on those systems.
Vegetative filters are not the only systems coming under scrutiny by the Illinois EPA. Funk listed off a few other practices livestock farmers will want to watch out for.
There are some new definitions on temporary manure stacks. So there's now a requirement in the Illinois regulation that you have to have either a cover or a pad or both for a temporary manure stack to prevent any leaching of groundwater or runoff to surface. So producers need to be more aware of that. It's some of that is common sense. That is, we don't want to pollute water with runoff or leaching from a temporary manure stack. But we also don't want to get hung up on spending a lot of money on a temporary manure stack because it is temporary. So we have to just understand what the requirement of the law is and what it is they're trying to prevent, that is, in terms of pollution. There are some other definitions now on manure spreaders, how we apply manure. So there are new definitions on what is injection, what is incorporation, and what is broadcast. Those could affect our selection of manure spreaders, manure application equipment. Another segment that could affect some, and that is the new regulations on winter manure spreading and spreading on frozen, snow-covered, or ice-covered ground. There are some severe restrictions on those kinds of activities, and the producers need to read those rules carefully if they're going to be in the situation where they have to spread manure in the winter.
One of the most important changes Funk says farmers are going to need to get used to is more record keeping.
Yeah, there will be some changes. For the smaller facilities where they weren't required to really pay that much attention to nutrient management plans in the past, I think it's really going to be important to get the record keeping processes streamlined and get their nutrient management plan in shape. For the large facilities, there's a requirement if they want to access what we call the agricultural stormwater exemption, that is, if you have a runoff from a farm field after you've applied manure to it, but you've applied it according to the plan that you have, if it's a bona fide nutrient management plan for the field where a discharge occurred, what you've got to do is be able to show on paper with your records and show that you actually followed your plan and so you did everything right and you still had a runoff due to a rainfall, due to a precipitation event. So that's going to be really important if they want that protection from the ag stormwater exemption. And all that ag stormwater exemption does is keep them from having to apply for the permit program. It doesn't actually protect them from a violation. That is, if there is a discharge, they could still be dinged on a violation by the Illinois EPA, but it's not as likely if you have your records in place and a good, strong nutrient management plan that shows you did everything right.
Livestock producers are not alone, though, when it comes to trying to navigate these new rules.
Well, there's several places. Of course, their commodity organizations are always a good place to start because they have resources, and in many cases, they can give the answer right away on some of the things, or they can locate people to help. University of Illinois Extension, of course, can help. They also can get access to the new regulations, that is the Illinois EPA regs, the 501-502, at the Illinois Pollution Control Board website. So if they go to that website and scroll down to Title 35, regulations called agricultural related pollution, under Title 35, the 501 and 502 segments are there that can be easily downloaded, and then they can go through the fine print can see those definitions and new rules for themselves.
Again, that was agriculture engineer and consultant Ted Funk. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.